Arehe Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Shanti Shanti Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. So, last we did the two stages of Sarvam Bhakti, yeah?
Yes.
Any questions to any? Yes.
Sometimes when we have a service to perform, in the beginning we will not feel any desire to do it, but when we're performing it. And then within the same activity, like by the time we finish the activity, we're feeling enjoyment from performance. So is that considered at the end, that feeling is
you see, we will come closer to actually what the definition of Raga Anuga is. But right now, just to understand, to start to do any activity, you need some, even like a bit of faith. Otherwise, why would you do it? Like, you go to a doctor and then for a medicine. You have to have some sort of faith. Somebody has to tell you he is a good doctor, or it's the pain is so bad that you have faith that he will help you, or no, something must be there. So you go, then you take the medicine. Now you take it as he says, and then you feel better, right? So next time you get pain, so will you have more faith to go to the doctor, to the same one, or just you will say no, it was working, I will not go again to him.
No, you have more faith.
Right. So, and that's because of realization. So with faith you start. Based on that faith, then it gives you some determination. It gives you some enthusiasm. And then you perform. Now, as long as you are following the instructions, so that you progress. You achieve the goal. Achievement of the goal gives you a realization. Based on that realization, you get deeper faith. With that deeper faith, you have deeper determination, more enthusiasm, and you can do the same activity, but now with more understanding. And what will be the result? The faith will be again deeper because the realization will be deeper. So practice, that's why devotional service, in practice. You do one thing. See, you may not just do one thing, just clean the floor in the temple room. But not just once. You do it as a practice, every day. Doing so, every day you get new realizations. Your faith will increase. And if you do the instructions as you are, you will get the taste for it. But if you don't do it properly, if you don't follow the instructions, what happens? You just start to do it as a job. So you will not get realization from it. In fact, you will start thinking, why am I doing it? Some say, I'm chanting for last 20 years and not getting any taste. Why am I doing it? Maybe they're not following the instructions of their gurus. Because if they don't, then the faith, it will slowly, slowly diminish. There is no question you can stay on one platform. Devotional service is not static, it's dynamic. So if you don't do devotional service, that means you are going down. You are not on one spot, you are going down. If you are not going up, you go down. So to constantly have a taste for devotional service, you have to not perform devotional service. That will keep you going up. But the understanding what you are doing and why are you doing it, you always have to have to want to go through it, to always understand what are you actually looking for. You always have to the goal, the vision of the goal in front of you. If you lose that, then you don't know which direction you are going. So what is the definition of Vaidya Bhakti? Rupa Goswami defines Vaidya Bhakti as follows. When there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master, or in persons of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called Vaidya Bhakti. So we don't discuss that. That's just because I have to. I go for Mangalarati because I need to be written in the book, otherwise I don't get prasad. No, something like that, right? So the stress is more, if I don't do it, then I get punished. That's what the Christians, right? If you go to church, then you see like all these very tamasic features. No, it's like, no, and then you get the idea that, oh, if I don't believe in God, I'll get punished. That's the idea. It's, well, it's nonsense true, but that's not the focus. The focus should be, if I do devotional service, then I will be able to please the Lord. So our focus is, if I do, when I do, I will get the taste for. And the secondary, well, and if I don't do, then, yeah, nothing great is awaiting me. But it's secondary. So, Vaidya Bhakti is, we don't have the taste. We are covered in ignorance. But, we have little faith in our Guru. That if I do the devotional service, I will be able to remove the ignorance. By that, then I will eventually develop taste. But it's a process of in practice. So we have to do again and again, follow the instruction, and by that we get purified. But the next stage is then that we get spontaneously attached to. Yes?
Yes. Sometimes we can also hear that persons who are seriously practicing Vaidya Bhakti are offended, like maybe, yeah, this argument that it is just mechanical, I don't know, more attachment or something. But actually, Vaidya is also an expression of our love for Krishna at our level.
What is the difference between Vaidya and Raganuga?
The difference between motivation.
So, externally, what's the difference?
Externally, there is no.
It's no difference.
Maybe the Raganuga is even better.
The difference is in the mind. Vaidya and Raganuga, the same services, same practice, everything is the same. Only in Vaidya Bhakti, we do it because we have to. We are obliged. In Raganuga, we do it because we want to. Yes?
And for Krishna, is all the same or not?
See, for Krishna, as long as it's offered devotional service, Krishna sees it. For him, it's one thing. A person who is performing Vaidhi Bhakti, now he can at once become completely purified and then come to the stage of Bhava or Prema. So, we cannot judge, you know, who is better and who is not. The only person we can judge is ourselves. We should know on which platform we are, and based on that we should seek association of others or give association to others. But we should never think about ourselves as being, you know, great devotees. Because as soon as we think that we are great devotees, then we are fallen down. Well, you see, if to give association means that if there is something, some relationship, and that the person needs help, you say you know how to serve, and then there is somebody who is serving prasad and he doesn't know how to serve. So you give him your association by telling him how it should be done, what is the order, what is how to serve, how much to serve, how much to serve to whom. Now go again around. So by your association he will not learn how to do it. But you have to be also very sensitive. If he is a person who doesn't want to learn from you, you cannot really do it. But if you develop relationship and such a way so you can have influence over the person, he will do it. He will be happy to learn from you. So we have to be sensitive to what we can do. So that's giving association. Taking association, in case of Narada Muni. When the Mahabhagavatas comes to his house there, so he immediately is hungry for their association. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to hear their narrations. He takes their remnants. So that's, he is hungry for taking association. So the Mahabhagavatas, they are not coming to take Narada Muni's association, because at that time, he was still a conditioned living being, according to the story. But so that way, and then Mahabhagavatas, they are satisfied on their own. So they naturally take association of others to get the best of all of them. Because they, so if they see that somebody is talking Krishna Katha, somebody is narrating, like when Shukadeva Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, so many sages come. Because they are interested in association, not to take the association of Shukadeva Goswami. When Sutta Goswami narrates, so then all the sages in Namisharana, they are just listening. They are fully taking association of him. And then he is happy to give the association because he knows something. He heard. So he is not considering that, okay, so now I'll be great Bhagavat Katha, narrator, and then my posters will be everywhere and I will get so much money for it. He's not professional. He describes, he's a devotee. So he's happy to have the association of all the devotees so he can narrate Krishna Katha. That's, and if it's to one or to a 10,000, it doesn't matter to him. He is happy to talk Krishna Katha. So that's the mood of a devotee. So how to associate with each other is a sadhu sangha. So then we can progress each other. So the one who narrates, he progresses. The one who listens, progresses. The system is perfect. What are the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti? Shukadev Goswami instructs the dying Maharaj Parikshit as to his course of action. My dear king, if you want to be fearless in meeting your death next week, then you must immediately begin the process of hearing and chanting and remembering God. So that's the process. And what does Padma Purana recommend? In the Padma Purana also, the same process is advised. There it is said that one should always remember Lord Vishnu. This is called dhyana or meditation, always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with his mind fixed upon Vishnu. Padma Purana recommends that one always fixes his mind on the form of Vishnu by meditation and not forget him at any moment. And this statement of consciousness is called samadhi or trance. So the main two principles, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, they come from Padma Purana. That's the ultimate. And from those two principles, everything else emanates. So any other principle which we may find in this world is based on one of these two principles.
We can also see that the Maharaj Parikshit was advised, like, according to the previous definition, he lacked things, but he wanted to be fearless, so therefore you remember Krishna.
Yes. But here it is that he practices. So it's a practice. So in this case, no, it was smaranam. So remembering. So you practice remembering. So, and then he didn't have idea about it. But now he's being instructed by Shukadeva Goswami to do that. So he accepts as a guru and then just listens Bhagavatam. So within 1 week, no, of the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he achieves perfection. So when... No, when the snake does come, and no, actually, he is not on material platform anymore. He is transcendental anyway, so it doesn't really matter to him. He is self-realized. So that's the abhayam. We don't have to be worried about what happens to this body. It's temporary anyway. But it's in our power to, through this body, to change the destination of the jiva, which is within the body. And that's our duty. So, and here that when one fixes his mind on Krishna, so always remembering him, so naturally that it's never forgotten, and that state is called samadhi. Samadhi means constantly remembering. So whatever activities we may perform, whatever we do, whatever. However, Krishna is always in the center. It's Krishna who we always remember. Yeah? Open the door. What is the order and prohibition in Krishna consciousness? The Padma Purana recommends, somehow or other, always think of Vishnu, without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles. For when there is an order from the superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. So that's the... As you were describing before, any instruction, anything which is being given, so these two principles you find there. Yes.
How can one experiment to see if his attempt to always remember Krishna is being successful? How can one judge his endeavor?
Daily activities. Now, when you eat, What do you think of? When you go to sleep, what do you think of? When you take bath, what do you think of? When do you sit, what do you think of? You may think of so many things, right? When you eat, then you may think of, I need to do something else, so you don't even notice what you are actually eating. Then when you are, say, in the bathroom, then you are thinking about how you will go to sleep very soon. Like, it's possible. So you are ahead of your activities. So you may not be even present while you're doing the activity. But it's not Krishna whom you are thinking of. Now, if you come to present, so when you are doing activity, why are you here? It's not, well, maybe you have to, right? But it can be that maybe you want to hear, you know, something about Krishna. Why do you take prasad? Okay, one thing is, well, we have to nourish our body. But that the same thing we can do, you know, with maybe some grass or something. But we do it with prasad. So then we get the nourishment from the sabji, but we get the spiritual advancement from associating with Krishna, with Krishna prasad. So this is Pancharatri. You assign or you set your sarana throughout the day such a way, so then anything you do can remind you of Krishna. Ultimately, if it does or not, it depends on you. The teacher can teach you so many things. He can take you, you know, towards the realization. But if you take it and realize it, or you completely understand something else, and you are happy with that, and then you don't care what you are supposed to do, it's your thing. Nobody can ever guarantee, no teacher cannot guarantee that the student is going to achieve realization. The teacher cannot guarantee the student will understand. He will do his best. And he will, you know, make sure that he explains the way he knows. But maybe the teacher just, he doesn't know how to explain it to that particular person, so he may not be capable of explaining it. So there is always the interaction, the relationship in between, which is very important. Now that's why, previously when a boy would come to a teacher like to Gurukul, so there is a trial period. So the teacher can see that the student actually is capable of studying under his guidance. And the student has the opportunity to see that he can listen and follow the instructions of the teacher. Because if there is something in between that they cannot do it, then naturally it will be, well, I'm going to see some other school. And nobody feels offended. It's natural because of the natures. So that's not the problem. The problem is if the teacher takes somebody whom he sees that he cannot really accept, or that he cannot instruct him, because then the problems will be increasing, unless the student can actually fully surrender. Or then when the student accepts a teacher or goes studies under a teacher which he doesn't like, or he sees it, he doesn't know. He has some doubts or misgivings. He will not be able to understand anything. So therefore the time period is done, so then both have the time to adjust. And according to that, then the teaching can go. So both have to have faith. the teacher has to have faith that he can teach the student, and the student have to have faith in the teacher that he can teach him. No questions, everything clear. So, anything? No? So, what are the varnas and ashramas? Well, that can be a long topic. Okay, so this regulative principles, this regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams, the castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, namely the brahmanas, priests and intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warrior and statesmen, the Vaishyas, businessmen and farmers, and the Shudras, laborers and servants. There are also four ashrams, namely Brahmacharya, student life, Grihastha, householder, Vanaprastha, or retired, and Sannyas, renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the Brahmacharis, or celibate students, to follow, but are applicable to all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, a brahmachari, or a very advanced, a sannyasi. The principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly and not forgetting Him at any moment is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. So, what does that mean? See, each of the varnas and each of the ashrams, they have certain duties which need to be followed. And everything what is being followed is followed such a way so Krishna is in the center. So therefore, whatever duties is done, it's always never forget Krishna. And always remember Krishna. So, these duties are geared for, so this is being maintained. So one being conditioned, so then he naturally wants to perform something which is close to his condition. So, for example, like intellectual, then they like to study. So then, what to do, how to do, how to engage such a person in Krishna consciousness, so then his conditioned nature is being fulfilled. So, okay, you want to study. So you study and you teach for the benefit of others. And now study and teach what about Krishna. What is beneficial? What's the understanding and how to increase the realizations of others about Krishna? Then we have the Kshatriyas. Now, they are administrators. So then what they do is that they lead. We have leaders. And they have a vision, what needs to be done. So the activities, as they happen, become Krishna conscious. So then they should see how to manage a devotee community. Such a way, so then the devotees are Krishna conscious. Lord Ramachandra, he had his kingdom fully Krishna conscious, and not only the human beings but also the other living beings. The monkeys were quite devoted to him. Why is that? Because he himself was very Krishna conscious, right? I mean, you cannot have somebody more Krishna conscious than the Lord himself. But we have others say Maharaj Yudhishthir, King Prithu. So there are examples of other devotees who are also very devoted, and because of the citizens are devoted. So that's a leader. Leader, he is capable of leading the people towards the goal. So he has a vision. And he he is not just a manager. Leader manages and leader administrates, thus both together for the benefit of the people. Now, manager, he manages to manage, right? He does day-to-day duties. He may not have a vision. He may not know what needs to be done. He may not know how to work for people. He knows how to work with the people. So then something needs to be done. Okay, we need to build some building here. So, okay, get the laborers, get this, and just build a building. Okay, it's done. So he was, okay, it's done, I'm going. He may not know what is the building for. He may not know what activities are going to be happening there. He may not know why the building is right here. He knows, he manages enough to know that for building the building, I need, 2 months, and I need 100 laborers. And I need this much money to buy the material. He manages. But that's about it. He knows this much, and that's enough for his. But after that, when he finish the building, he may not have any relationship with the laborers. He doesn't know who the laborers are. He doesn't care. Why should he? That's not his business. But the leader, he should know whom he is dealing with, because he has to know his managers. He has to know how much he can depend on each and every. Can I ask this manager to build a building? Or maybe not. Maybe he is not capable. I should ask the other one. That he has to do. And then he does that, and that's his responsibility. If it's not built properly and it falls down, ultimately it's his fault. So then he takes advice. But whatever advice he is given by his minister, by his counselors, still he takes full responsibility. But he is maintaining the relationship. Based on his relationship, he knows what's happening in his place. He is present in his place. He is very careful about this place. He cares for it. That's a leader. And then he can be fully conscious of what's happening. The kings, they would go out in disguise, through the people, and sometimes they would even poke like a star, the king is stupid, he did this, and then see what will be the citizens' reply. Yes, you are right. No, he's useless. And what did he do? And then he will come to hear what actually they feel that he did wrong. And many times it's not that just to punish them, but actually to see what it is. Because in front of him, everybody will be, oh, Maharaj. But what's happening behind the mentality of the people. That's very important to the king. So he wants to know that. That's why he has so many spies. And if somebody is, you know, spreading some rumors, then he punishes the person. But if something was done improperly, then of course, then he takes the advice. But he takes the responsibility. So he has a lot of facilities. But he is the person who has the most responsibilities. So that's what he do. That's what he does. And it's not easy, but leadership is necessary. Without leaders, then the society is not very progressive. Like application, you can see on, I don't know if you heard about Batya, the Bata shoes. Didn't hear of Bata shoes. Actually, he was from Czech. And then, what, like you can see him all over the world. And what is his secret? People love him. I mean, he's dead. No, he has some great grandchildren, whatever it is, but people love him. And for very simple reason. And he makes money off them, right? But they love him. So what is his secret? When he builds a factory, he builds small flats for the laborers. He builds hospitals for the laborers. He builds schools for the children of the laborers. He builds shopping centers for the laborers. So the factory becomes a city, small little town. And who works gets free place to stay, you get free hospital, you get free education, and then you can buy stuff cheaper than outside from these shops. So somebody may think, well, why is he doing it? Just build a factory and then you get the labor, and then if you don't like him, kick him out. But it's very difficult to train somebody. It costs a lot of money and time. And once you train him, then if you kick him out or if he goes away, then you have to do it again and again and again, and you lose a lot of profit. So he trains the people, and somehow the people stay. Now, why do they stay? He found the secret of that he provides a shelter. And every living being, that's what they are looking for, shelter. Look at the animals, humans, it's a shelter. Those who are conditioned, they may be looking for material shelter. Mother, father, devotees look for ultimate shelter. It's Krishna. But every living being needs a shelter. So Kshatriyas, the leaders, they provide the shelter. So I'm not saying that he is ideal example of what we should do, but as an illustration, he provides the material shelter. And for that, people are very comfortable and happy and satisfied with him. He makes profit, because when they go to his hospital, he makes sure that they will not get treated for something else, and then his doctors will not cheat him, right? When they go to shop to his shops, then all the profit goes to him. And when the children goes to the school, what is he going to teach them? The basics, but he is going to teach them how to be labor in his factory, right? It's natural. So the generations stay over and over because they have shelter. They don't have to worry about, what if I get sick? I get taken care of. Now where do I stay? I have my flat. Now what about my children? They go to the school. So the basic shelter, and then now most, 90% of people are just happy with this shelter. They don't need anything else. So these people are going to be very happy with this provision. So he sees that, and then he provides the shelter. So a kshatriya, in Krishna consciousness, he has to provide also a shelter. The devotee must feel sheltered. He must feel satisfied that what he is doing, it's useful, that he is being taken care of. And until he gets satisfied, until he gets purified from the conditioning, then it will be connected to the conditioning. So, if we can provide the shelter and make that person, the devotee, satisfied, then he can fully relax and then he can take up the devotional service with full speed, with full determination and faith that yes, this person cares for me. I like him. I can do anything for him. And because of that, then I will do. So, accepting the shelter, then I get the taste of what actually shelter is. Even though it's material, but I get the taste. Based on authority, because the shelter comes from the authority. And that's the leader. If I taste the shelter, what it is like from my authority, then it's a little bit easier to imagine what it is like to taste the shelter of Krishna. But if I have no shelter and I'm running around, then not wanting to accept the shelter, why should I go and try to even accept shelter of Krishna? That's why we have the parampara system. So if we can accept authority, then ultimately we will be able to accept authority of Krishna. But if we are refusing, if we don't want to know or accept a shelter, then how do we know what actually shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna is? Yes.
What was the name of this Czech person?
Bhatia. But this is a diacritic on the T, but actually not, it's a Bata.
Okay.
He ran away he was there during the Second World War, and then after that in front of communists, and he ran away. And he went to America. Yes.
As far as I remember, one of his concepts was also that he said, I have too little money to buy something of bad
yes.
quality, so he's also making some products of decent quality at least.
He would say, his motto was, I am not so rich to buy cheap stuff. No. That's what he used to say. It's not good. Plenty of the Chinese stuff. I mean, look at it. There is an ambassador from 1947 built by the British. And then the next was 1952 or 3 series. So, and then after it was again like 59 and 60. You don't see all this, but you see ambassador from 1947. You still see them in Calcutta? No, few, but you still see them. Why is that? Because the British were still going at the time now for quality. So it's a solid car and it still runs. after that, quality, you know, wasn't that important. And nowadays, it's meant so car lasts 5 years. So then, you have to buy a new one. Very soon there will be some, you know, self-destruction, you know, in the car. So after a certain time, just it melts. It is, yeah. But you still may squeeze something out of it. But now everything is the computerized thing, so they can put in the chip little, you know, timer, and then after some time it just blocks the whole thing and then they cannot do anything. Like there is the American company, the Monsanto. So then they create the seeds, they make the seeds, the genetically modified. And they produce themselves. They're not like a hybrid, but they produce. But they put a gene into the seed, so then it self-destroys after, you know, certain amount of crops. So you may get two crops, and after it, you don't get any sprout. So they design it such a way so you are in need of, like, building new chips, new computers. Now, if you buy a computer and then you do some words, some typing, and it works, why would you need new computer? The computer works, right? But then they need to sell you a new computer. So what do? They make new systems and new programs which they will not work on the old computer. So they make you interested in getting the new system, new games, or whatever it is, you know, more realistic or, you know, better and better performance. But for that to run, you have to buy a new computer. Like when they want you to, you know, to show you that you should put a chip in yourself, so then they will tell you, you know, how good it is that you go to a doctor and they will scan you and they will know all your medical history, right? But what they don't tell you is that actually by that then not, they will always have you monitored. That's unimportant, no, for you. Or you don't have to have any credit card, no ID, no passport, you just go to the shop and then from, they will scan you on the chip and then they will just deduct money from your bank account. And so can do anybody else. They don't tell you that. Right, when you have the passports with the chip, they tell you should put it in a special wallet. Because if you take it out, when you take it out, anybody can read that on the distance of 10 meters. So there were already cases, there are people who have the special scanners and they, if it's unprotected, they read it. And they can not do the identity theft. They don't tell you that. So they are trying everything which is beneficial for them, but not for the people. But they tell you it's good for you. So the technology is not always a sign of progress. So therefore, it's better to stick with the old, traditional methods and then just do things as they are proven not to be done. You get the best results. Anything else? Yes.
Also understand that these principles of Varna and Ashrama, they are coming from the most important principles, like not something separate. Sometimes we hear arguments that I just remember Krishna, Varna Ashrama, that's important.
You see, like, the Varna Ashrama system is actually to support the principle never forget Krishna. If we can always remember, okay, that's Bhagavad Mark. Just go follow, No, always chant the holy name, perform one of the part of devotional services, and then you will be on Bhagavad Mark. You don't need any of the social differentiation and be belonging somewhere in the social society. You don't need it. You are above that. But if you cannot always remember, then the principle never forget. So then Varnashram system comes in place. So that helps us to be engaged in devotional service. It's not ideal. But anything below Prema Bhakti is not ideal. Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur says that devotional service starts by Prema. So whatever we are doing, this is not devotional service in one sense. Because devotional service is when we can fully, constantly get absorbed and think about Krishna. Anything before that is just aspiration for devotional service. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says that when you aspire for devotional service, you try devotional service, that's also devotional service. But we cannot say that it's the same. So there is a differentiation. So we have to discriminate what is what. But we have to keep in mind that ideal is Prema Bhakti. But how to get there? We may wait for Krishna's causeless mercy, so then that he will actually give upon us the attachment for him. But how many devotees actually achieved that level? There are very, very few. And what do we do in the meantime? Maybe we should do something so then Krishna will notice us. Maybe we can try to please our guru. Maybe we can serve the devotees. That way we are sure to please Krishna. So maybe by that Krishna will give us the causeless mercy. But that we can do nonsense and thinking that we will achieve the Krishna's causeless mercy, it's quite foolish. Yes.
So the Varna and Ashram are there because we have a material condition. So my question is there any danger or would it be considered oppression to try and just engage just chanting and always being on the Bhagavad, I guess, level?
If we are conditioned?
Yes.
What did Krishna tell to Arjuna when he said, I'm not fighting, I'm going to forest to meditate?
He said, perform your duty.
Okay, but that's the best, that's the highest, right?
To perform your duty.
No, well, to meditate upon the Lord. Bhagavad Mark, right? That's the highest. So, what did Krishna tell him? Now, go and do it. He said, perform your duty. So what did he swear? And how did he call Arjuna? He called him a fool. Why? Because at that time Arjuna was he was playing the role of conditioned warrior, right? So he, as a condition by being Kshatriya, he will not be able to go to forest and renounce everything and forget about his duties and everything and just meditate. So that's why Krishna called him fool. But if he takes up the bow and arrow and he fights, then he performs his duties, he follows the instructions of his guru, who happened to be Krishna, and then he will achieve perfection and he will be satisfied. He will please Krishna, he will please the devotees, and everything will go as it's supposed to go, the right way. So, if we think that we should not follow our duties, we should just do something else because we don't want to, it's foolish. It's very foolish. We will come to it when we go through the ashrams, because the duties of the ashrams are even more, not clear, but specific or more juicy. Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,